I was singing with the girls this morning, and I've got a couple of things to share with you, but I was singing with a girl. I'm going to do two songs from the from our book. Let's do that first. Look at page 5 in your book. I hope you learned from this song, and I don't care if you agree with all of it. Just agree with the parts you can. Eat the watermelon, spit out the seed, my granddaddy used to say. Reach out to the ones who are struggling. Feed all of the hungry in your sight. Every day, all day and night, be love and light. Respect those you disagree with. Just smile and try to be quiet. Every day, all day and night, be love and light. Make silly fun faces at children. Do your best to resolve all your fights. Every day, all day and night, be love and light. Every day, all day, just walk in the light way. The right way is love's way. Don't fail to be kind. Sisters and brothers, take care of each other. Manifold blessings you'll find. Have mercy, not judgment for brothers. Go always to great lengths and heights. Every day, all day and night, be love and light. If you live very far from your mama, do not fail to call her and write. Every day, all day and night, be love and light. I think I always skip a verse in there, don't I? Let me see. Yeah, 5. Don't argue to prove your point better. Be willing to lay down your rights. That's a hard one. Every day, all day and night, be love and light. And then my sweet funny verse. Hold open the door for your sisters and your brothers whose loafers are light. My mom, I had a gay cousin that used to come by our house all the time, and my mother would not say anything ugly about anybody. She would compliment the devil. I mean, she just only had good things to say about people. When he would leave, the only thing she ever said about him is, he's a little light in the loafers.
Light in the loafers.
Have y'all heard that expression before? Somebody's been a little light in the loafers. See, I wondered if that was a Southern thing or if it was, but my mama would say that about gay folks. She'd say, he's a little light in the loafers. And that's the only thing she would ever say about the homosexual community is, he's light in the loafers. So I didn't know if y'all knew what that verse meant. I thought I better stop and explain it to the Yankees who may not know.
Thank you for explaining it.
So, your brothers whose loafers are light. Every day, all day and night, be love and light. Every day, all day, just walk in the light way. The right way is love's way. Don't fail to be kind. Sisters and brothers, take care of each other. Manifold blessings you'll find. Manifold blessings you'll find. I think that ended up being one of my favorites this week. I don't know. I like that little song, and that's a good one for the children too. I'll just move from there into what I was telling you about my children. I do songs with the children. I teach through songs, and I got to thinking about the songs my mama taught me. The first song I remembered, I learned real truth in them, and you can learn truth in any song if you've got an eye for truth. Whatever somebody's saying or preaching or singing, it's all up to you whether or not you get truth out of it. Now, it may not be all true, but you can find truth. I watched Joel Osteen a few weeks ago, and I found some great truth. He spoke some great truth into my heart personally because I was looking for truth. I don't make it a practice, and I didn't send him any money. But I got some truth out of it. But my mama taught me some things that were wrong. You can also see great error. If you've got an eye to see the truth, then that automatically exposes error. But mama taught me to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. I don't have any reason to doubt that Jesus loved me or loves everybody. I don't know about that. But this part right here, for the Bible tells me so. Mama was starting early to brainwash me into thinking that if the Bible said it, it was true. I didn't realize that till the other day. I don't know where Wesley Joe learned that song. I don't think I've sang it to her, but I heard her singing it. And I thought, well, now she thinks whatever the Bible says is true. So I stopped and had a little lesson with her. And I said, there's a lot of true things in the Bible, but there's some stuff in there that's not exactly true. And so we had a night, and she's four, so it doesn't make any difference. But I just wanted to encourage you to listen to your songs and think about the ones even when you learned when you were little. For the Bible tells me so. Now, don't make it true, does it? It took us a long time to get past that hurdle to say it's not inerrant, it's not perfect, it's not the Word of God. When we got past that hurdle, then we begin to really fly. How about, my mom always sang to us, mares eat oats and does eat oats and little lambs eat ivy, a kid'll eat ivy too, wouldn't you? Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Of course, my mother never knew the right words. She sang, mares eat oats and does eat oats and little lambs eat ivies. I mean, she just made stuff up. But when I finally heard the real song, it was lambs eat oats and does eat oats and little lambs eat ivy, a kid'll eat ivy too, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you do what everybody else is doing? I mean, wouldn't you just follow suit and eat whatever they're eating? That's what she was trying to teach me. Wouldn't you believe it? Because they all believed it. Grandpa taught it and you bought it. We've always believed it. So why wouldn't you believe it? It was so startling to my mom and dad before they left this earth that I was believing a lot of stuff they never believed. We never believed it like that. That was one of daddy, you know, he'd listen to me preach and he would amen it. He would say, no, son, that was a good message you brought. You did good. But that's not what we believe. We've never believed like that. And I said, Dad, do you hear what you're saying? Just because you never believed like that doesn't mean it's true, that not true. Maybe we're seeing something now y'all never saw. And it just was hard for him to get past the startling realization that he didn't know everything because his daddy had taught him. He was a Methodist preacher. My daddy was a Methodist chaplain. My uncle's a Methodist preacher. His wife, my aunt, my marriage is a Methodist preacher. We're full of preachers in our family. And of course we know everything. But to introduce something new that nobody ever thought of, that was just like a foreign thing. Mares eat oats, and does eat oats, and kids eat ivy. Wouldn't you eat it too? No, not necessarily. We stopped eating that stuff. Just because they're feeding it don't mean we're eating it. And that's where we begin to grow. Mama taught us, bad, bad black sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir, yes, sir, three bags full. One for the master, one for the Dane, and one for the little boy who lives in the lane. Did y'all sing that when y'all were little?
Yes.
You know what that teaches me? That black sheep still have something to give. I've always been a black sheep. I've always been the rebel. I've always been the one that wasn't this. You remember, anybody watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood or Sesame Street? How about this song? One of these things don't belong with the other. That's the song I always heard when all the guys got together for sports and stuff. And I was standing there and I was thinking, one of these things don't belong with the other. I didn't want to kick the football. I wanted to decorate. I wasn't real good at kicking footballs, but you know, hey, I have a penis, so I guess I can do it. Woo! So that was that was kind of the song that stuck in my mind is in many situations. One of these things don't belong with the other. So what song was on before I went to that one? One of the songs that Mama taught us.
Bye
bye black sheep. Have you any wool? Well, I'm a black sheep and I'm different and I'm a rebel, but by God, I've got some wool. I mean, I've got some wool. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got three bags full. I can put as much wool out there as any old white sheep there ever was. One for the master. I'll give to who I'm supposed to give to. I'll pay my tithes to people that bless me. I'll bless them. One for the Dane. I'll take care of my family. And one for the little boy that lives in the lane. I'm going to give to orphans. I'm going to always do something to take care of kids down the road that don't have anything, whether it's down my road or down another road. It's part of who I am. I'm a black sheep. My mama taught me that even the black sheep have something to give. And we learn from songs. If you'll listen to the words of songs, and as my kid, first I wasn't going to teach my kids nursery rhymes and all these songs. But then I thought, well, if I teach them, but I teach them the real meaning behind it, then they've learned something. My mama taught me, Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Remember it? Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Guess what? I don't have to chase the lamb down. Anywhere I go, the lamb's there. I don't have to ask the lamb to come into my heart. I don't have to beg the lamb to forgive me. I don't have to go looking for the lamb, seeking the lamb. The lamb's with me everywhere I go. Why is the lamb with me everywhere I go? Because the lamb's in me. The lamb is me.
Amen.
You can't get away from the lamb. So there's a song with a principle and with some teaching. And then I learned Wesley Joe, one of her favorites, and Chloe is, the itsy bitsy spider climbed up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain. And the itsy bitsy spider climbed up the spout again. How about this? Itsy bitsy spider, climb up the water spout. Don't sit and wait for somebody to rope you and pull you up it. Don't wait for permission to go up it. If you want to go up the water spout, then just climb up the water spout. It's there for you. This is your life and this is your world. Climb the water spout. But guess what? The rain is going to come down and wash your butt out. It's going to happen as sure as I'm sitting here. Your day will come, financially or physically or health-wise or relationship-wise. You will get washed out at some point. But hold on. The sun will come back out and dry up all that rain that's going on in your life, all that poverty, all that sickness, all this life or the next, I don't know or care, but I'll tell you this, the rain is going to be gone, the sun is going to shine again, it's going to dry up all that rain, and guess what? You can climb right back up from where you fell from. I had a prophetic word from a little old lady that's on my Facebook, and she gives words to people. I used to make fun of that after I gave them for a lot of years. Then I decided, well, that's not real. So then I made fun of it for a lot of years. And now I see love and light in everything. She sent me a word. Now listen to this word she sent me. She said, Brother Robert, the Lord gave me a word for you. And this is it. And she typed the word out. Here's the word. You are about to enter into a new season and you're going to be used mightily in your giftings, especially music. And you're going to take the message of the heart of God to the entire world.
Wow.
Well, I live in a $32,000 house in the woods in Eatonton, Georgia, and the only people that will even have me preach is y'all. I have no connections to anybody in the ministry world. No preacher ever calls me. Nobody ever dials my number and says, come to our conference, except y'all. I don't know if that makes y'all smart or dumb, but y'all don't. This is it right here. But guess what? I believe that. Don't you believe that? When I read it, I just decided to believe it.
Yes.
And Gary's talking about this new day that's coming and is here. And he's exactly right. And I can't define it or put my finger on it or even figure it out. But I believe the truth is fixing to be the biggest thing going. And we've got an early seat. We got here. We showed up at the plane early and it was first come, first serve. And somehow we all got in first class. And I'm so excited about that. So I'm going to keep writing songs, and I'm going to keep going to the recording studio, and there's no outlet for it right now, but there will be. There's no hunger for it, but there will be. There's no open doors that I can see, but there will be. And I'm excited to say that. I just wanted to make it more real by saying it out loud. I'm an itsy-bitsy spider, and the rain came down. But guess what? The sun's out. I'm climbing back up. Then Mama taught me, Jack and Jill went up the hill. Why do you go up a hill to fetch water? You know the well's going
to
be better in the valley.
The
valley's where you dig wells. I got a well digger that came out to my buddy's house the other day, and he wanted to go to the low ground to dig the well. He didn't pick the highest hill. on which to dig the well. So this whole system's flawed to start with, but it's Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown. And Jill was staring at Jack instead of paying attention to her own journey. She was focused on Jack and how he fell down. So guess what? She fell down too. Now, I can make a case for oneness that she fell when he fell because they were one. But I'm going to make a case for quit looking at what other people did or didn't do. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. And we're so apt to do that if our focus is on everybody else except our own self. Quit focusing on Jesus. I don't want to be like Jesus. I want to be like me. I want to be me. I don't want to be like anybody. I want to be me. And I don't want to stare at Jack so hard that I fall down when he does. So, hey, I learned a lesson from the Jack and Jill song, I'm thankful to say. So, I'm not doing my new modern note-taking like all people. I just forgot my notebook, so Robbie sent me pictures of it here. This is not me taking a step towards modern note-taking. It's me being irresponsible. How about this one? If you're happy and you know it, stop. You mean you can be happy and not know it? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. I guess there's a lot of folks that are happy and don't know it. And you can be happy and not know it. Because you're happy, whether you know it or not. Now, if you're not knowing that you're happy, it's because you're focusing on temporary circumstances instead of the truth. If you don't know that you're happy, it's because you are focusing on temporary circumstances and not the truth. If you're happy, clap your hands. Forget the know it part. If you're happy, I'm happy, 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 happy. Happy, happy. If you're happy, clap your hands. I'm happy. I'm going to clap my hands. Whether I feel happy or not, because I'm happy. And I've, the other day, Wesley wanted me to do head, shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. As a great lesson on body parts and that we're all part of one body and that we're all different. My elbows look nothing like my nose. You know, my eyes, ears, mouth, nose, toes, it all looks different, but it's all connected. It's all part of the same body. And I also found out that it's much easier to stay in touch with all the parts of the body when you're younger. Yeah. Wesley said, "Why aren't you touching your toes?" I said, "Shut up." I finally got it like this. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes, knees, and toes. He said, "You're supposed to bend over. Don't tell me how to touch my toes. You're a child. Shut up. I'll spank you." I know how to touch my toes. You don't. You think you know how people should touch their toes, but you don't. We want to judge people and say, "You're doing it wrong. You don't know how I'm supposed to do it. Do it the way you think you're supposed to do it. I'll do it the way I think I'm supposed to do it. And let's leave each other alone. I'm touching my toes, all right?" My favorite, though, I guess, my last two favorites is row, row, row your boat, not somebody else's. Yeah. Leave my damn boat alone. Row your boat gently down the stream. Why are you trying to row up the stream? Why did you get involved in religion to start with? Why are you trying to fight against a current and become something? Just go with it. Row, row your boat. Nobody else is not. Don't row Jesus' boat. He had his own boat. You row your boat. And row it gently. Don't wear yourself out. Life's not meant to. You don't need to wear yourself out. Get yourself off those schedules you're on. Lighten up. And quit putting time frames on everything so that you're always late and always rushing and always trying. I'm talking to myself, by the way. Row your boat gently down the stream for a while. You'll live longer. If you will, just row gently down the stream, merrily, merrily, merrily. There's the call on your life. Live merrily. Whatever makes you merry, do it three times a day. Merrily, merrily, merrily. Yeah. Life is but a dream. It ends before you know it. So enjoy it and quit rowing against the current. Row down the stream. And then we've been doing this one at the house. What do you think, Buster Snoops? He says, "We've had a lot of company this week." You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, you put your right foot in, and then you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. They had more figured out in that song than the doctrine the church down the road has figured out. That one song, if we'd just done that instead of going to church all of our lives, we'd have it figured out. The hokey pokey, that's what it's all about. It's not all about Jesus and God and scriptures and Bibles and dispensations and who's coming and when they're coming and who they're taking and who they're leaving and eternal punishment and reward. And it's as simple as putting your foot in and out and your hand in and out. You just go through the motions of life. And I love this part. You just do the hokey pokey, which is nothing. A hokey pokey is not anything. It's just having fun. You turn yourself around. You don't need God to turn you around. You don't need religion to turn you around. You don't need to make some big change. Yeah, you just turn yourself around. You get ready to turn around. I thought about opening a rehab called the Hokey Pokey Rehab, where you turn yourself around. Because you have the power to turn yourself around if you want to. Or you have the power to just decide not to turn around. How about that? Just sit where you are and stay where you are. Do the Hokey Pokey. Quit doing all this religion stuff. Quit doing all this stuff that's so hard.
Hokey pokey. When people, y'all, I'm sorry y'all missed that. I forgot to take my mics with me. When people ask you what church you're part of, tell them you're at the First Hokey Pokey United Church of Turning Yourself Around. How about that? That you don't need God and Jesus and the Bible to do it. You can do it yourself if you decide to. So I got on a roll this morning because my name is Butter, my middle name, and I wrote just a few posts that some nuggets I pulled from the weekend together. Final judgment day is coming, the day that I decide to stop judging myself and others. That's the final judgment day. Make your final judgment. Judge one last person, pick your mother-in-law or the president or your least favorite news commentator. Just judge one more to get it done, get it out of your system, and then let it be final judgment day. Just stop judging. How about that? Wouldn't it be a better place? Wouldn't that be wonderful? How about this? Forget what you did, what they did, and how you felt. You're at the table now only. Shut up and play the cards you're dealt. Just play the cards you're dealt. Forget what they did to you. Forgiveness is a crock. You don't need forgiven and you don't need to forgive. You don't need to keep carrying around all your IOUs that you think you owe somebody or that they owe you. Just wipe all that away. None of that ever happened anyway. It's all done. Just act like it didn't happen because it didn't. How about this one? Praying is just fine. I won't ask you to nix it, but God didn't cause the flood and God won't fix it. My Facebook, I'm going through my flick. Pray for us. Pray for God. Pray for the flood, waters to recede. Pray that this and pray that that and pray. I meant to bring my fidget. I bought me one of those little fidget spinners. You hold on to it and spin it. It's exactly the same as praying. Just keep hitting that thing. Just keep, same as praying. Just hit it many times as you want to. If it makes you feel good, just keep hitting that thing. It just spins and spins. It's got little ball bearings in it. It'll spin and spin. It's like prayer beads. Does nobody any good whatsoever ever. But if it makes you feel better, spin the fidget. Go ahead and spin it. That sounds like a cuss word. Spin your fidget. Just go spin your fidget. You know, spin it. Y'all have seen them, haven't you? It's like a little three-part, like a propeller, and you just hold on to the middle of it, and it turns within your hand. You just spin it. Just like prayer. Doesn't do a damn thing. You just sit there and spin it. But if it makes you feel like you're accomplishing something, then pray away. The waters will recede when they recede. We had a Brother Copeland and all of them telling the storm to stay at sea. Guess what? It came in anyway. It came right on in. So anyway, don't pray about it. I'm going to read that one again. Praying is just fine. I won't ask you to nix it, but God didn't cause the flood and God's not going to fix it. How about that? Us against them is a thing of the past. The last is now first and the first is now last. No separation, no need of salvation, no chosen people, no holy nation. Everyone's holy now. Everyone's in. Nobody's lost and undone in their sin. Everything's changed. We no longer see double. Knowing this saves us a whole lot of trouble. Jealousy flees. Fear disappears. No more division between our ears. No more duality. Prayer falls apart. The concept of God can't stand in our heart. Revenge is not possible. Prejudice dies. Gossip is muted. Gone are the lies. We tell on each other, our sisters and brothers, our fathers and mothers, our daughters and sons. All are non-existent when you just see the one. My goodness, why can't we see that? You don't need a miracle in Jesus' name. Your hand's not withered and your leg's not lame. In fact, there's nothing wrong with you. You're beautiful, perfect, through and through. How about this one? Nothing. That is your complete list of what to do to become more enlightened. Nothing. I learned that this weekend. There is none so blind as he who plucked out his eyes and filled the sockets with pages of a holy book. I'm a little sarcastic. Unbelieving all the junk in the hoarder's stash religion has filled your mind with is step number one of believing the truth. We're all hoarders, and we've hoarded up so much junk from religion, it's hard to make room for the truth. When your granddaughter Susie buys you something great for the kitchen, where are you going to put it? Every cabinet I open, Tupperware falls out and hits me in the head, and Cool Whip bowls and extra glasses from McDonald's when they had the nice plastic ones with cartoon characters on them. And, you know, the cabinets are full. Empty some cabinets out and make room for some nice stuff. How about this one? Please free yourself from the curse of believing and passing time. The clock stands still, forever set on now o'clock. Happy's the man who decides to live his life in love instead of waiting on people to forgive him for his erased history. Just live in love. Nobody needs to forgive you. If your relatives don't want anything to do with you, then oh well. Come on, take my fin. We will swim in the ocean of love, knowing there's nothing scary out there beneath us or above. Isn't that a blessing? Religion is a fishbowl. Love is a fish in the sea. Want to be bound by the rules in a book, or do you want to be free with me? You're on a beautiful cruise ship. Why would you choose to be the captain when you could be a pampered guest of honor in a beautiful suite with a balcony? Stop trying to control everyone and everything around you. Let go of the wheel. You don't need to drive. Just relax and enjoy the ride. How about this? You can be lived through by spontaneous life while making meatballs. We heard it.
Yeah.
Spontaneous life can flow right through you while you're making meatballs or shaving your underarms or whatever it is while you're doing anything. Spontaneous life can happen right in the middle of you. I learned that this weekend. If I weren't deceived into believing there's a me, I probably wouldn't deal so much with personal pain and worry. Think about that. If I weren't deceived into believing there's a me, I probably wouldn't deal so much with personal pain and worry. Right. It's all about me. If I quit believing in me, all that stuff goes down the drain with it. This isn't rocket science and shouldn't be a mystery. There is no past and you have no history. Man, the first time Mike said that you have no history, I thought I was free, but when he said it and I believed it, this realization came, there's nothing to be forgiven for. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. There's nothing to go back and fix. There's no restitution required. It didn't happen. It did not happen. So I'm free. And that's a blessing. To the dear lady on the news, comma, if God protected your home from flooding and not your neighbors, he is an asshole. Hashtag pulling my hair out. It was a sweet lady on the news last night where we're told not to watch the news, and I accidentally turned on the TV and there it was. And her house had been spared by the flood because it was on a little hill in her neighborhood. And she said, I just want to thank the Lord for sparing our house. We prayed and Jesus held back the waters. And her poor neighbors, they panned the camera, her neighbors out there drowning, you know, an old woman trying to dog pedal out to the ambulance or whatever she was. It's like, okay, your sweet Jesus saved you and your neighbors drowning over there. What an asshole. Anyway. Religion. And we don't even know that we're hypnotized by it. We don't even know. We sit and we say, yes, praise the Lord. We sit there, you know, thank the Lord he saved her. Well, he didn't save everybody else. Did y'all see that poor nursing home that they showed pictures of them. They were sitting in water this deep. The nursing home, they were all sitting there in wheelchairs. The water had got up to their chest and they were frantically calling somebody come save us.
And one was knitting
and one had her head slumped over and her nose was against the water. She was like, her Howl doll had kicked in. So she was like, she didn't care that she was drowning. She was trying to drown. She thought, get me out of here. One of them is sitting there with water up to her chest and she's knitting. One's reading. She's holding her Harlequin up out of the water, holding her Harlequin book up out of the water. There they are. water chest deep, and they're all just sitting there in their wheelchairs because Jesus was too dumb to save them. He saved that woman's whatnots and her antiques. She was surprised. She said, "I'm so thankful my antiques didn't get ruined. Jesus saved my antiques," and was letting grandma drown down the road. Knitting booties for that other lady's grandchild, I guess. I don't know. That's a strange God that would be so selective in who he's going to kill and not kill. It's kind of like the flood and Noah and that bunch. He saved Noah. What a great choice. He gets off the boat and grows some grapes, makes some wine, gets dog drunk, and sleeps with his son. What a great guy. That's a good one to save. It's just funny when you think about the stuff we believe and why we believe it and how stupid Christians look to the world sitting on there. And, you know, you got Pat Robertson up there with his Halloween mask on. No, that's actually his face. I'm sorry. But there's a lot of masks that they've made that look just like it. Is why I was thinking that my friend has one. And he's sitting there talking about the judgment of God coming to this city and that city because there's so much gay activity there. You know what? Let's flip on that one. How about North Carolina got them a nice hurricane and so did Texas because they both made laws against the transgenders using the bathroom of their choice. How about that? How about I've got a God that's going to destroy those states because they won't let transgenders piss where they want to? I mean, you know what? That's just as stupid. I don't really think that. But that's just, I mean, let's, you know, if they want to go with a God that picks sides, I've got one that must have picked sides there because he's busy flooding out the two states that made laws saying that a person can't piss where they're comfortable and they're both getting destroyed. Thank you, Jesus. She talked blah, blah, blah. I dare y'all to make a law against the transgender people. We'll see what happens to your state. God will get y'all. There's obviously Jesus did wear a dress. I'm just saying. You know, I'm just saying. We got pictures of him at my house. I got from my grandmama's. He's wearing a dress in every picture. Y'all better leave Jesus alone now. He didn't have no wife, did he? He had a reason. I'm just saying. He lived with a bunch of guys and walked around and slept with them. And John laid his head on his breast. All right. Y'all think what y'all need to. I'm being silly because it's all so silly. And I can flip to the other side of that coin. If y'all want to talk about Jesus picking sides, we'll flip on over there if y'all want to. But I don't want to. Just let's put it all in the garbage dump where it belongs and move on with truth. He or she who walks in the light needs not forgiveness or to forgive. They're not afraid to die anymore, and they're not afraid to live. He or she who walks in the light needs not forgiveness or to forgive. They're not afraid to die anymore, and they're not afraid to live. That's some free people right there. You don't need forgiveness, and you don't need to forgive. You're not afraid to die. You're not afraid to live. That's good stuff. How about this one? Set aside your preconceived ideas about who God wants you to be. Remove God and you from the mix and just be. Who does God want me to be? Move God and move you out of the equation because neither one exists in the sense that we have always believed. There's nothing left but be. Just be. Be it a bed of roses or a bucket full of shit, life is unfolding from you. This is it. This is it. I don't know what you're living right now, but this is it. Just accept it. Nothing's out of order. Wade through it. Do what you got to do. And the itsy bitsy spider has already taught us that the sun will come out and dry up this rain if it's raining in your life. And you can climb up the spout again. What great truth. It's so freeing to get out of the rat race of religion. I'm no longer trying to fix, change, or improve my life. I am in peace, R.I.P., resting in peace. And spontaneous life is flowing through me with no effort of my own. You too can be born again. This is a greater change in my life than it was when I got saved. Moving into this truth changed me more than when I got saved, more than when I received the Holy Ghost, more, whatever all that means, more than any religious experience that I had. This has brought about more change to my life, and it brought about less works.
Yeah.
Along with more change came less responsibility. I'm doing less than I've ever done and enjoying more than I've ever seen. What a great place to live. Isn't it the truth? To all the faith preachers in Texas who spoke to the storm and told it to return to the sea, consider becoming an auctioneer. Well, they like auctioneers run their mouth and flip-flap, flip-flap, and get nothing. You know, I thought it might be a good new career choice for Kenneth Copeland. Hearts break when they are pushed aside to make room for the voice of religion. Don't trade your heart for a book. Hearts break when they are pushed aside to make room for the voice of religion. Don't trade your heart for a book. Announcement. I, Robert Rutherford, will no longer ride the merry-go-round of forgiveness. I refuse to live my life in the delusion that things are out of order. I will no longer put life on hold waiting for myself or others to meet the proper qualifications in order to be forgiven. There is no bill to pay where there is no debt. It's time to embrace life and love in the now. And if you cry any more tears, let them be tears of joy as you celebrate the wonderful gift of being. Good. Bookworm, someone with a tiny brain who lives their life in guilt and shame because of a verse in a book. Bookworm, someone with a tiny brain who lives their life in guilt and shame because of a verse in a book. You already know what to do, just do it. Or we can pause and ask your outer space overseer and pretend he's telling you. The Lord told me, even if what the next statement follows is the truth, the Lord didn't tell you anything. You already knew that, and your inner voice said it. And if you want to give credit to the Lord for that, I guess that's your business. A true case of mistaken identity. The man who prays to God for an answer hears the answer in his own heart and then gives God thanks. It's a true case of mistaken identity. A man who prays to God for an answer hears the answer in his own heart and then gives God thanks for it. I'm almost done. When I realized I am love, I stopped looking for it in a book. It goes on and on. I'm not going to go on and on. I'm going to close with a poem that I hope you'll appreciate, and then we're going to get something good to eat. We've sure had some good food. Thank you, all you ladies and guys who put this food together, and the wonderful coffee. And there was, every time I walked in the kitchen, there was more than enough. I don't know how y'all do it or how you plan for it. We didn't even plan to have all these meals, but every meal fed everybody, and there was always more than enough. And I think that's amazing. I was thinking about the very important ministry that Dave and Elaine are doing here, and how wonderful and beautiful it is that all this is recorded forever. And that people 3 years from now can go to the internet, look this up, and sit in on these sessions, and the recording quality is amazing. I mean, I went back and looked at some of the ones that are already up. It's like being here. I mean, this is really good stuff we got going on here. Thank y'all so much for that. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome. And I'm thinking about some old dude that's, you know, on the net surfing, and he finds our, you know, I don't know how he would find us, but it can happen. I found myself on lots of websites, on YouTube, key in the right word, we pop up. You know, I've got folks that are sending me messages that they're listening to these messages that I didn't invite to do it. I don't know how they found us, but they found us. They're commenting. Doors are opening. Minds are opening. So I was thinking about an old dude sitting and I'm watching TV. Or watching his computer and finding us. And I wrote this little ditty to close this out here. If I can get it pulled up here on my phone big enough to see, this is me forgetting my book and Robbie taking pictures of stuff. One night, this is from his perspective, one night I was sitting on my pleather couch in the lowest place that I could get, halfway through a 12-pack and a bag of chips, surfing on my laptop across the internet. I found a man who owned a factory but wasn't allowed to run it. A gay man married with 13 kids who'd obviously overdone it. I shook myself and raised my hand and opened another Corona while I listened to them and a one-legged preacher from somewhere in Arizona. I've laughed about the combination that's put together here to reveal this great truth to the world that Mike hit on yesterday with the gay guy from Georgia with too many kids and our one-legged preacher and Mike over there that owns a factory and can't run it. So here we are. Many are called, but few are chosen. It don't take much to qualify for this job as an apostle in this organization. So the old fellow, well, let me read that last part. He said, while I listened to them and a one-legged preacher from somewhere in Arizona, the message they were speaking was more than crystal clear.
I felt my spirit floating, and it wasn't just all that beer. Their message, powerful and deep, filled my mind from border to border. There is no judgment, time or space, and nothing's out of order. I was born again as I heard their message. So I put my old belief system up on a shelf. I said my last prayer to the God in outer space and welcomed home the love found in the essence of myself. Some old boy out there somewhere, or some old gal, might stumble on some crazy messages that can't be understood with the head. But as they go into the ear, they're captured in our soul in a place that the heart can discern them and recall them in future times. When we get to a certain place in the trail that we need to know something that's in there, it's able to come back to us. Even Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, you know, they'll be given back to you. They'll be brought back to your remembrance just as I said them to you in the time that you need them, that kind of a thought. Everything that we've said here are words that can never be taken back, and they're out there in the world, not just through the internet, but they're out there in the atmosphere and in the universe. And we've spoken some mighty powerful truths. Mike, thank you for that. I know you take some heat for what you say, but it's worth it. It's the kind of heat that's going to cook up something good. And Gary, I know that I know what your schedule looks like now compared to what it did 5 or 10 years ago as far as preaching. I know how your offerings look now compared to what they did 5 or 10 years ago. We're in a, maybe this is the remnant that I say doesn't exist. It's a much smaller crowd that we run with, but I wouldn't trade it for all the tea in China. And I know you wouldn't either. And Mike, you could be a bishop at the Assembly of God by now if you'd poured all this effort into that. Thank you for not doing that. And here we are. And I don't think we could be in a better place. And I'm so honored to be numbered and counted amongst you guys. I love you all very much. And I'm thankful just to be and to be part of you. And that's it.